In Psalms 23 and 4 it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." God has not given us that spirit, has He? Of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're going to begin with verse 1. Now, let me just make this statement before we start. Do not put your faith in the power of sin, but in the power of God. Think about that. Sometimes we actually put faith in the power of sin. When we begin to dwell on it, focus on it, when we begin to fear that we're going to fall back into a sin, what we're doing is we're putting a greater faith in that sin to dominate me than in the power of God to set me free from it, keep me free from it. So do not put your faith in the power of sin, because in Christ Jesus, the power of sin has been broken in your life. Amen. It has already been broken in your life. The devil wants to convince you that it has not happened. But you're already free because of the blood of Christ. Yeah. So we have to shift away from dwelling on, thinking on, meditating on that, to start looking at Jesus, amen? Dwelling, meditating in His Word day and night. Taking our eyes off the sin and putting on the solution, Jesus. Get our eyes off the problem and put it on Jesus. He's the answer. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 20, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble, or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you." The Lord your God is with you to fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord is already the victor. The Lord has already overcome the adversary. The Lord has already given us the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. He has overcome the world. We are overcomers because we have the overcomer in us. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So do not fear your enemy. It didn't say if you go out, but when you go out, verse 1, to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. In other words, don't live by what you see in the natural. When you see these things, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord, your God, is with you. Now, you have to believe this, that God is with me. When you see things in the natural that are much bigger than you are, that you know that you have no power over, no ability to conquer in and of yourself, you have to know that God is with you at that time. Would you agree? So he's given encouragement here because he knew that the children of Israel were going to have to face these enemies as they were commanded to go in and possess the land. And that means they were to go into their inheritance. God has an inheritance for you. We see in type what is happening in the spirit realm in reality today. We are in a spiritual war. You cannot be passive in a battle. You must learn how to use the weapons of your warfare. The battle is the Lord's, but the Lord is our commander-in-chief. And because we are joined together with Christ, He gives you spiritual weapons to use. How many know what some of your spiritual weapons are? The Word of God, right? Amen. Number one, the Word of God. Yes. How about the Word of your testimony? Yes. How about the protection from the blood of Jesus? Yes. Amen? Amen? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of our testimony. So you take the Word and you speak the Word. You recite it. Speak it publicly. If you feel oppression in your home, get the Word of God out. Go to the Psalms, great place to start, and start speaking at these Psalms right out loud. How many know the devil does not like the Word of God? He uses the Word of God, by the way, but he always twists it to manipulate. And so when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. In other words, Egypt means we came out of what? Bondage of sin. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh over Egypt was a type of who? Satan. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. You and I are a royal priesthood. You and I need to speak words of encouragement. Because you may not be going through a battle right now, but your brother and your sister may be. And so we need to speak words of encouragement to one another. And he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them." What he's doing is actually giving them a command. He's commanding them not to allow this to happen to you. Now, if God commands something in our lives, guess what? He has the grace available for you to be able to live that. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Now, I just want to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, chapter 16, I believe it is, of 1 Corinthians. Verse 13, Paul is giving final exhortations to the church at Corinth. And you know, when someone is giving departing words, they're usually important words. Would you agree? Amen. Sometimes when we say goodbye to someone who we may not see again for a long time, or maybe never again, those last words that we speak to them are words from the heart, and they carry a lot of weight. Would you agree? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, it says this. This is what he said. "Watch," in other words, pay attention, wake up, stay alert, "stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." And that word "be brave" really means be a man, if you will. How many have heard that? Be a man. Be brave, be strong. "Let all that you do be done with love." God commands us, folks, to be strong and of good courage. And the way that we are strong is not in self-will. It's not in willpower, but it's in the power of God. Amen? That's right. Our faith is in the power of God. And so when we are putting our trust, our full trust, that God is with me and God will battle for me. Amen. When you see things that are happening around you, Shift away from what you're seeing. Don't allow that thing that you're looking at to magnify itself in your eyes. Instead, magnify the Lord. Instead, begin to decree and declare who God is. That God is on the throne. That God is in charge. That God has all power. That God is able to deliver me. That God is my refuge. That God is my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my strong tower. God is my help in the time of need. God will not leave me or forsake me. God is for me. So who can be against me? That's what you decree. That's what you declare. That's what you put your faith in. Don't look at your circumstance. Lift your head. Look up to Him. I will lift up mine eyes, amen, to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Maker of heaven and earth. So do not fear your enemy, no matter how big or ugly he looks. And he's ugly. That dude is ugly. How many know your neighbor is not, your enemy is not your neighbor? It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your brother, not your sister. We know that very well. Ephesians 6:12 says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, right? One of our main enemies is sin. Unbelief in God's ability closes the door to victory over sin in our lives. So we have to shift away from the problem or the bondage or whatever it is. And we need to look to the solution, Jesus. And not only do we look to Him, folks, once again, we need to declare who He is. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There is power when you agree with what God has already said about Himself. His word is forever settled in heaven. How many realize that when you speak a word, that word can never be recaptured again? It is forever. If these walls could speak, you've heard that said. So when we speak words, words are powerful. And so if we've been speaking negativity, if we've been speaking wrong things, we've been complaining about things, we need to stop that right away. We need to shift away from that, because all that's doing is attracting dead things. You want the blessing of God aligned with what is good and pure and true and lovely. Amen? Of good report. Speak life. And life will result. So when God speaks, His word is forever settled in heaven. That means it's unchangeable. His promises are steadfast. They are sure. God's word is a sure word of prophecy. Amen? When God speaks, when God gives a prophecy, it is a sure word. How many know God's not in the guessing business? When the Holy Spirit is truly speaking, it's not a guess. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it is truth. God hates lies, you know. He hates falsehood. Because it's truth. Amen. That brings light. It's truth that brings revelation. It brings life into us. When we understand what is true, then we won't fall for what is false. And so you're going to have enemies to face. It's no great revelation, Steve, the things that you've been going through this year. But I remember Bill Johnson talking about how, you know, many people are asking for an impartation, and that, you know, he would lay his hands on them and pray a blessing over their lives. Or any of us can bless. How many know that's true in Christ? But one thing you can't impart into somebody is their experience that has brought them into position, into a place for a greater anointing. And the difficulties that you're facing, are they have purpose in them. Because God's going to be entrusting you with a greater anointing because you have a humble heart, a humble spirit. and God will give His grace to the humble. You've been really good. We're none of us are perfect, but we have to submit ourselves to the dealings of the Lord, because God's always got good in store for us. He will work together all things for our good. So when you see things that don't make sense, when things seem to be falling apart around you, I know nobody's ever had that happen before, but if it happens, when that begins to happen, then we need to shift up and we need to turn our back to that problem and we need to fasten our eyes upon Jesus, who is the answer, and say, okay, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to learn? What do you want to reveal to me? Where am I going from here? If you lose your job, you just look to Jesus and say, God, where's the next door? Where's the next open door? Instead of going, oh, I just lost my job. What am I going to do? You say, okay, Jesus, a problem is there to promote me. Your problems are actually there to promote you. If you don't get tested, you can't graduate. God will allow testings. God's not mean. He's not cruel. He allows things at times in our lives to condition us, to prepare us for greatness, because we want to be great in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I do. And so when you ask God to do that, you go through fire. You go through trial. You go through difficulties. You get misunderstood. You get lied about sometimes. You get persecuted sometimes. Everybody does if you're living godly.
That's right.
If you determine to do the will of God, life's not always going to go the way you predict.
That's
right. So what do? We rejoice instead.
Yes.
Why do we rejoice? Because we know that God is with us.
Yes.
And He's for us. And He will fight the battle for us.
Yes.
Get out of complaining and get into praising.
That's right.
How many have realized that when you complain, I know I'm not the only one that's complained here, but when you start complaining, all of a sudden it gets worse and worse and worse. The more you complain, the worse it gets. Why? Because you're attracting dead things. You're attracting demonic forces. So we got to shift out of that. You can talk yourself right into a hole, huh? Well, not God's people, though, right? If that's what we've been into, all we need to do is start speaking higher. Amen? Speak above it. Speak better things. Speak life, all right? Oh, we can get a hold of this. Because when we start complaining, we're actually collaborating with the enemy. We're doing exactly what he wants you to do. Because that's what he does. He bellyaches. Demons are like spoiled children. They're whiners and complainers. And any one of us can be influenced at times. We have to be very careful that we don't align ourselves with those. Because they'll tell you, oh, look how bad it is. What you need to say is, no, I'm going to look at how good God is. How big God is. You need to believe that God is on your side. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be what?
Faithful
to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when Moses spoke concerning his enemies, in Exodus chapter 23, you can turn there if you'd like, Exodus 23, verse 29. In fact, I want us to go right back up here to verse 20. This is God's promise of provision and protection. As they went into the land, I want you to read with it. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will pardon not your transgression, for my name is in him. Speaking of the angel that he assigned to Israel. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, says the Lord, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. How many would agree that obedience is necessary?
Yes.
For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. These ites represent demonic forces that you face, your enemies, spiritual enemies. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. Don't align yourself with ungodly thinking and speech, conversation, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars, the things that they trusted in. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. If you obey the Lord, if we obey the Spirit of the Lord, God will cause your enemies to run.
Hallelujah.
That should be a big amen there. And then he said in verse 28, I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. In other words, you're going to be an irritation. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Look at verse 29. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you, until you have increased, and you shall inherit the land. In other words, God is taking us through a process. He is building you, developing your character. He is equipping and preparing you for your inheritance. He's getting you ready for what He is leading you into. And you cannot get the full inheritance until you have been prepared for what God has for you.
Amen.
So little by little, He said, I'll drive them out. Otherwise, there would be such a void that you would be overwhelmed. If God drove everything out all at one time and gave you everything at one time, you would not be able to handle it. Because your character would not be ready for it. God prepares His people before, amen, they enter into the blessing. God was trying to teach the children of Israel in the wilderness not to trust, amen, in the things that they could see and feel and touch, right? But to trust in the Lord who provided for them. They were not to trust in the bread, amen, of this world. Man shall not live, He said, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is the true living bread. Amen? God is the provider of natural bread. If we live in obedience to His word, God said He would bless the water, amen, and the bread. God would provide for you. How many would agree that obedience is a good thing? He has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that says, don't do that. Why don't you do this instead? We need to listen to His voice. I've never been disappointed when I've listened to God. There's been times when I've had to do some, in my own opinion anyways, risky things to obey God. But it wasn't a risk at all, really. It was just in my mind it seemed like a risk. It seemed like a scary thing to do. But we have to get to a place where we resolve to be fully dependent on the Father and to do exactly what He tells us to do, regardless of what it looks like. If you want to live by faith, if you want to receive the blessing, if you want to be prepared to enter into the inheritance that God has for you, folks, we're going to have to walk with Him every day. We're going to have to realize that God is with us, God is for us, God will fight the battles for us, but God is going to provide a way for us. He's going to equip us and prepare us for what He has coming, which is so much better than what you're in right now. So he wanted to prepare his people. He wanted to encourage his people, give them a word of encouragement so that when they faced the enemy, they knew that this is not the end. This is the end. No, it's not the end. It's only a stepping stone to get to where you're going. Some of you got that right. Jim Morrison, yeah. It's not the end, folks. For you and I, it's a walk of faith, but that's a glory walk. God is moving us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We get to a certain plateau, and life is good, and you've achieved, you've overcome, there's been victories. But God says, I got something even better for you. But I got to get you ready for it. So here comes a little greater test. That's why James said, count it all joy when you experience testings of all manner, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith is precious, producing steadfastness, character, perseverance, hope. God is getting us ready, folks. And so we don't always understand why, but you got to trust. When you trust Him, you're not ashamed. When you trust Him, you're not disappointed. When you shift away from the problem and you look at Him as the answer and you declare Him to be, you know He is what you say He is to be to you. Is He your healer? Speak to Him. Speak of Him as your healer. Is He your Lord? Well, you must confess that He is Lord for Him to be Lord. Salvation comes, amen, because man believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, but with the mouth he confesses, right, that Jesus is Lord. Confession is made unto salvation. So is He Lord? You confess Him out loud, verbally, audibly, should I say, right? Is He your provider? When you're going through a tight place in your life, don't look at that. Look at God, your provider. Speak to the Lord and say, Lord, your word says, you promised to be my provider. But then listen, because God will often give an instruction. You see, sometimes we don't obey God, we don't listen to the instruction. And then we blame God because He didn't come through for us. Well, He had already told us what to do. God, you knew my house was flooding and I had no place to go and the water was coming up to the roof. How come you didn't rescue me? And God said, well, why didn't you get in the canoe that I sent you?
Or in the helicopter.
Or in the helicopter, right? We've got to keep our eyes open because God will give you an instruction. Throughout Scripture, faith has always had action. I said it this morning, right? But there's always an accompanying action with it. You do something. When you pray for somebody, ask them to move, ask them to check it, do something. Faith has action, right? So whatever it is that God is going to do for you, folks, sometimes God just does something that's completely supernatural that you had no part in, really. But most of the time, it's going to require an action. In fact, even the things that God did supernaturally required the action of prayer. Either somebody was praying for you, or you were praying. Isn't that true? So prayer itself is a step of faith. It is an action that I believe God is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we need to maintain a positive confession of faith in God. If you can get a hold of this, start really working on it, practicing it. You know? As soon as you catch yourself, I say, Lord, if I even begin to get off of my mouth, get in the wrong direction, I ask the Lord to smite me with conviction. You know the Lord is faithful to do that.
Amen.
I'll start to speak something I shouldn't be, and all of a sudden I'm going to be like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's a good reminder. You can pray that way too. Yes, indeed. Now, in Psalms 18, David made his confession. Psalms 18, verse 2. Listen to what he says here, because he's confessing who God is in his life. And these psalms were all put to music, by the way. How many enjoy music? The word and music is such a wonderful combination, isn't it? He says, I will love you, O Lord. Who is he? My strength. When you're weak, God is what? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You see? My God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield, he's the one who protects me, and the horn of my salvation, the power of my salvation, my stronghold. It's like a fortified castle, right? Place of safety in him. So he declares, he decrees these things over his life. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall, not I hope, so shall I be saved from my enemies. We speak a word of faith. We speak as if it is. Do you see it? As if it's already done. We need to hear a word from the Lord. When you hear a word from the Lord, you know the Lord has spoken to you. That is a sure word of prophecy. That is a word that has promise in it. That is a word that you can take and you can speak that word over your life. Amen? You can declare what God said over you and it will be yours. That's how it works. I think the error has been in some of the in the faith teaching has been where somehow we think God is our genie that in a bottle, that we rub the bottle and we say the magic words and he does whatever we want. No, it don't work that way. No. What we do is we pray and we ask him for an instruction. The Lord, if you wait on him and listen, he will speak. He will give you an instruction. Or he'll give you a word, a promise. Once you hear the word, sometimes it'll be spoken through a brother or sister too. Then you speak that word faithfully. And you hold on to that word. Abraham believed God. The word that he received, he continued to confess it, you see. He was an old man and God promised him a son. But he didn't waver by unbelief, did he? But he held on to the promise of God and he spoke it. He declared. Amen? He's a father of many nations. God said, I'm a father of many nations. It doesn't say that. We know that was the promise. And so he says that he actually spoke that. So what is the word to you? Well, how about Gideon, you know?
Yeah.
Hanging, you know, hiding out in a wine press. And the angel appears to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. See, that's the word that, who, me? If God said it, it's true. And he needed to understand his identity. And so when you get a word from the Lord, you take that and you start speaking. When you feel weak, when you feel wimpy, when you feel intimidated, when you feel shy, start saying, I am a mighty woman, I'm a mighty man of valor. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When there's a threat of disaster in your world, if there's maybe the appearance of things are going to be bad, if the enemy comes up and he wants to offer you a dish of worry about the future, how many know that's your enemy? God's not in the worry business. God's not worried. God's in complete peace. Amen. So we need to get into God into complete peace. And we align ourselves very quickly when we agree with His Word over our lives. So He says, the Lord is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Praise brings, amen, the glory of God, the presence of God. So no more saying, I want you to hear this, whether you say it verbally, audibly, or you say it in your head, I'm a loser. You are not a loser. The devil is a liar. Don't listen to him. He tells lies. When he tells you that God doesn't love you, you tell him from Romans chapter 8, verse 38, if you can write that down. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. How much does God love me? For God so loved you, loved me, that Jesus died for me when I was in sin, when I was in rebellion, when I was an enemy of God. God loved me still. And now that you've been reconciled and the blood has been applied to your heart and you've been brought into fellowship and you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God, you don't have to accept anything less than I am a child of God. Yes. And as a child of God, I will walk according to the rule and of my Lord. Fear not. Just put your trust in God. When the devil tells you you won't make it, tell him Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What that really means is I can do everything within the will of God for me. Because some people, they go off and do something God didn't tell them to do and they're claiming that. You see, that's again where the faith gets off there. We get off the assignment for our lives and we just try to make God do what we want Him to do. You can claim that Cadillac till you're blue in the face. Let me just say this. Sometimes the devil can give good gifts too. Sometimes he will give you something that looks so good. Even when you're offered something, folks, you need to question it and say, God, is this from You? Uh-huh. There's been a lot of Christians who've been shipwrecked because something they had been praying for and waiting for, they seemingly seemed to be the answer, but it wasn't. It was a smokescreen from the enemy. I've seen people where they've been given job offers and they didn't pray and get confirmation that that was the answer from God. But it was actually deception from the enemy. The devil was playing interference and he got them going in the wrong direction. And they got into a situation that was not good for them. They took themselves out from under the authority that God had placed them under in the fellowship that they were in. And they went to some place that they were not ready for. And God had not called them to go to. And they were shipwrecked in their faith. So just because it glitters doesn't mean it's gold. Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. And that's why he's so seductive. I don't believe, folks, and the Bible doesn't even teach that, that the devil's, you know, he's all red and got horns and a pitchfork and got an ugly face. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he was the anointed cherubim and he was beautiful. He was one of the most beautiful creatures that God created before he fell. And I believe that's why there's so much seduction in evil even, because evil often appears beautiful. Once people take the bait and they take the beautiful appearance of evil and they go after it, then the devil begins to pervert them and distort them and bring them to a place where now they're actually accepting degrading, ugly things as objects of worship. Vampirism, you know, demon worship, all this other junk that you used to say, ugh, man, that's gross, you know? Well, the enemy's very good. He's slick. You know, I don't believe that temptation in the garden was, you know, it wouldn't be if it wasn't good to look upon. Amen? Supposed to make you wise to be like God. And I'm sure it probably tasted really good initially. It wouldn't have been a temptation unless it was desirable. And so the enemy, he has an appearance of beauty. Evil doesn't appear as, you know, and that's why in most cases, I'm saying, because that's how people are seduced. When Joseph Smith received these so-called tablets from the angel Moroni, okay, never did he test the spirit, whether it was of God or not. He just accepted because it was a beautiful angel, beautiful being. How many know there are fallen angels? And they appear as beautiful to men. So just because it glitters doesn't mean it's gold. Okay. We need to pray for discernment that God will show us what is of Him and what is not. When the devil calls you a loser, tell him, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8:37. When the devil tries to bring you under condemnation, tell him, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When the devil tells you you haven't done enough to please God, tell him, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We have been saved for good works, but we're not saved because of good works. There are people knocking on doors, going around, trying to do a lot of good works because they think that their good works are going to save them. The only thing that's going to save you is faith in Jesus. Amen? Alone. Faith in Christ. Faith in the shed blood of Christ. And when you have been saved, God gives you a new heart. And this new heart wants to serve, wants to please Him, wants to live for Him. Not as a means of being made right with God. But whatever we do now in obedience to God, God is storing it up for you in your heavenly piggy bank. Papa God has a heavenly piggy bank for you. And He is storing up treasure for you in heaven. And so we get to do this. He didn't have to do that, folks. But because God loves His children. Isn't it true that a good parent will reward their children for good behavior? They will reward their children for good deeds. But they don't love them just because of good behavior and good deeds. They love them because they are their child. That's why parents struggle when their child is wayward, because they love their child so much and they don't want to see their child wayward. Amen? And even when they do things that others may condemn them for, and some of them are behind bars, guess what? Mom and dad still love their child. Because that's their son. That's their daughter. Do you see it? Papa God loves you. No matter how you play, He still loves you. He wants you to get a base hit. But He wants you to make a home run. He encourages and cheers you on when you get a base hit. But He's rooting for you and say, I know you can knock it out of the court. Amen? You can knock it out of the park. Because He's rooting for you. He's with you. And the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And He will fight the battle for you. All He's asking you to do is to listen to His voice. If you will obey the Spirit of the Lord, then the Lord will bless your water and your bread. Amen? Amen? God will cause you to prosper. You will find that your light, your dawn will break forth. And when you face your enemies, know that on the other side of that battle, folks, there is going to be new territory, new ground. God's taking you up a notch. He's taking you to a higher plane than you've been before. And what happens is that plateau then becomes the launching pad for the next level.
Amen.
That's why we don't look back. We don't go back to Egypt. We're in this all the way. And as long as we keep our eyes on the prize, we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. No matter what's going on around us, Lord, I've got my eyes on You. Lord, I'm trusting in You. I'm putting my faith and my hope in You. I'm not going to be defeated because I know You're with me. When He tells you you'll never be anything for God, tell Him, 1 Peter 2:9, but I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am His own special people. Amen? That I may proclaim the praises of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do you see how powerful it is when you align yourself with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? In the moment that you need Him, He is there. All you got to do is ask. Call upon His name. Cry out to God. He will answer you. I'm going to finish with this. I've used this before, but we need to have more faith in God's ability to deliver us and keep us than the devil's ability to deceive and destroy us. More faith in God's ability to keep us, to deliver us, than the devil's ability to deceive or destroy us. Do not fear your sin. Do not put faith in your sin by fearing it, by worrying about it. Instead, shift away from it. Get your eyes, get your mind off that, and get your eyes on Jesus, who has overcome the world. And His grace is sufficient for you. God will never convict you of sin without offering you a way of escape. When He convinces and convicts us, when we feel the guilt and the shame because we failed God, oh, He's just waiting to take you up in His arms and to say, it's okay, I forgive you. All you got to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. That's it. And true repentance requires a choice, a decision that I will now follow Him. If you're truly sorry, if you've truly repented, you won't continue to do it. Ebenezer Scrooge. He was a transformed man. But he came to his senses and he realized that no longer am I going to be a greedy, selfish miser. I am going to love and give and bless. And I'm going to be a light. If you used to steal, then you start giving, amen, instead. Do the opposite. People who have been in sexual bondage or sin, when they've been delivered from that, God often will raise them up and use them in that type of ministry to help others who are in the same kind of bondage. People who have been drug addicts. Hello. And God has delivered you and set you free. He'll raise you up to be a light, to be an example. That's repentance, you see. Repentance has restitution. Zacchaeus this morning said, Lord, if I've taken anything from a bribe, if I've, you know, I've deceived anybody, I'm going to pay back fourfold. Jesus said, this day, salvation has come to your house. Your light has come because you have aligned yourself with me. You weren't willing. You didn't try to save your life. You knew your life was a mess. When you truly give your life to Jesus. God, we love You so much. And I thank You for the Word You've given to me. Lord, I know it's Your Word and not my word. I know that You're doing the work. And Lord, we just get to be a part of it. We just get to walk with You. Lord, we hook up with You. We link up with You. We yoke up with You. Would You stand tonight? Thank You, Jesus.